Or turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. On Mother's Day, I mentioned that we were going to be doing a series of messages over the next month on the home. And we were not going to do them every Sunday or in succession, but we would be doing them throughout the next month, with the last one being on Father's Day. And the first message we brought on Mother's Day about was about women, faithful women, and so forth. And had planned on doing something last week about children, but changed that. And so today I want to talk to you about children and what the Bible has to say about children and the responsibility we have as parents toward our children. In Psalms chapter 127, the verse says there in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, the verses there, particularly verse 3, says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Down in verse 5 is a verse that Mary and I used to joke an awful lot about, because after having two children, she wanted to have some more. And after having two children, I didn't want to have any more. And so she would often read this verse to me that says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full." And I tried to explain to her that different people have different size quivers. And that I felt that mine was full at two. And so I guess you can, you know, use any kind of justification you want to when it comes to justifying what you want to do or don't want to do. But the point is the Bible says there in verse 3, and the first thing I want us to notice is, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Look in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. God Almighty designed the family, and we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks the design of our God's perfect design for the family. And it is a God's will that there be order within that family. And so the parents have a responsibility. Now in Proverbs chapter 17, the Bible says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." The fact is that there's much said. Look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And notice there in verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." So the Bible has a lot to say about the joy, about the wonderful responsibility parents have in having children. The problem is in our society today, and I think it's pretty evident, I don't have to tell you this, that too many children are simply left to themselves, and they don't have the guidance, they don't have the leadership that they need. And that's so evident when you look at things in society in general. I can't tell you how many times you've been out in public. I've been out in public, you probably have too, and you've seen a rebellious child there and pitching some kind of fit and temper tantrum or whatever. And the parents seem many times like they're helpless to do anything. And I often think about, you know, it's really not the child's fault, because the parents have been given the responsibility to bring up the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so when there are rebellious children, most of the time it's simply because they have not received the proper instruction. And there's something about that. When you think about it, there's a great correlation between the concept of us as God's children and children in a household. God loves us as His children. The parents are to love their children. We read the verse last time, or on Mother's Day there in Titus, where the older women are teaching the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Had somebody come up to me after that service and said, you know, I had never really noticed that in that verse. That younger women have to be taught to love their children. And many instances that may not be the case in the sense of somebody sitting down and teaching them. But the fact is, those verses indicate that there are situations in which mothers don't have that natural love that you would think that they would have. I have noticed in raising animals over the years that animals, in many instances, have a greater affection for their young than do human beings. They're very protective of them. We had a basset hound, one of the first ones we ever had, and she was the most docile animal you've ever seen. Never barked, never growled at anybody until she had puppies. And if a stranger walked over toward that bed where those puppies were, she was going to come after you. She was going to protect her young. And yet you see so many people today who have abortions, who have children, and just have no care for them whatsoever. Well, the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. That is, they're a gift from God Almighty. And as parents, we have that grave responsibility of bringing those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what Ephesians 6 verse 4 says. It says the father of the righteous, or it said to ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we have a responsibility. Now, I want us to think along the lines today of what children really need. What do children really need? You see, real love for your children is not giving them what they want, but giving them what they need. And I believe in society today that that's where the great confusion has arisen. Most people believe that when they give their children what they want, they are demonstrating their love for that child. Now, I know children probably don't want to hear that, but the fact is that simply giving your children things, simply providing physical things for your children is not a good indicator of the love that you have for your child. In some ways, maybe it is a demonstration, but the greatest demonstration of love you can have for your child is giving them not what they want, but what they need. And that boils down to a lot of areas of discipline, of all kind of things in life. But the fact is that we live in such a materialistic society, and we're all part of it. We all enjoy it. We all like the things. But, it's amazing how many parents simply have substituted things for parenting. They substituted events and activities for parenting. And the truth is that parents have a great responsibility not only to provide physically. Paul said to the fathers, he said, if any man provide not for his own, he is worse than an infidel. And so I was thinking about that verse about providing. A man is to be a provider. And he is to provide the physical needs for his family. The Bible says if we don't work, we should not eat. But the fact is that provision goes beyond simply providing the physical things of life. It also includes, obviously, providing the spiritual things of life. The leadership, the instruction, the teaching, the wisdom, the knowledge that is imparted to the children. And so it's important that we understand what the Bible has to say about these things. What do children need? Well, the first thing they need is love. And I just mentioned that. And love is giving them what they need, not what they want. It's also giving of yourself to the children. It's giving of your time. It's giving of your effort. I was watching the other day, last night, there was a clip on TV there. Mary and I were sitting there, and this Casey Anthony thing came up. She said, what do you really think happened with her? It's the lady that supposedly killed her child. She's going on trial and supposedly killed her child in Florida. And I said, well, to me, from what I've read in the papers, and it's pretty obvious, I would make a good juror because I believe she did it. I said, but it very possible that formaldehyde stuff that she used, that maybe she was just simply trying to cause the child to sleep so she could go out and do what she wanted to do. And that has been the testimony of the friends and so forth. And, I mean, we had right here in Chattanooga, folks, a few years ago, a woman left her child in the back seat of a car while she went to a motel to have an affair with a man, and the child died in the back seat of the car. You see, we're all selfish, but when we think about the responsibility, there's no greater responsibility. You know, I think about a husband-wife relationship, and there's a great responsibility there. But we're talking about adults there. But when children come into this world, they are dependent upon their parents, or in some cases their grandparents, or in some cases a single parent, to provide the leadership and the instruction and the love and the caring that they need. And one of the hardest things, I think, to balance for many people is to balance the love and the discipline. Because many times people feel if they love their child, or feel that their child thinks, if my parents love me, they wouldn't discipline. But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, that's just the opposite of the truth. A parent that truly loves their children will discipline them because they want them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But they'll do it in a way that's scriptural. Now, you know, we read there in Proverbs a moment ago, and there's an awful lot of instruction in the book of Proverbs about discipline, about bringing up children. I just want to read some of these verses. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've had a lot of people over the years discuss that verse with me or talk about that verse, and they say, I just know too many instances that prove that verse to be wrong. Because they see children that are brought up in a godly home, in a Christian atmosphere, and the child does depart and do things that are contrary to that which they were taught. Well, I think sometimes people miss what the verse is really saying. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is the... I think that's from the training. In other words, the actions don't always indicate the training and the instruction, but it's always there present with them. I can remember, I mentioned several times, many times, how that the things that my dad taught me, so many things, my mother as well, but particularly my dad in things related to work and that kind of thing, that the thoughts and the training has always remained there in my mind. And it's not that I've always done exactly what was taught, but the instruction will never leave. The doctrine that is instilled in the child is there. Train up a child. So there's an indication there that we have a responsibility of training. You know, we usually think about that term in relation to animals. But there's a training of children that will cause them to be able to grow up to be mature adults and grow up to be people that will have a respect for the Word of God and for God Himself. Notice over in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Just a few things about the importance of discipline. Number one, it ought to be consistent. In Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. He says there, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. You know, there's an awful lot of unrest in homes today because of the lack of discipline. And the correction there has to do with the instruction. Correct thy son, he says. He shall give the light unto thy soul. You know, there's so many people today that I, over the years that I've experienced and known, and it's so sad because in so many instances, you see people have children, and they never really enjoy their children because the children are so rebellious and so disrespectful that they just can't enjoy them. And I think just the training and the instruction would call, and the example that the parents could be for those children. The Bible is clear that there is to be a training process. Correct thy son. In Proverbs chapter 13, we see that in the writer of Proverbs makes it clear that there was a method of correction. And I know that this is not very popular. But I, in spite of what the secular world says, and perhaps even what some of you may think, I personally believe that there's nothing wrong with spanking a child. I believe it is a great form of discipline. I believe the Bible bears that out. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, we just said, what does a child need? They need love. Well, what does the Bible say a parent that loves their child will do? He'll chasten them over and over again. He said, betimes. You see, so many times it's just the parents become so weary, they just give up. And what ends up happening? The child becomes rebellious. The child becomes disrespectful. The child is self-willed. You know, really, you can really narrow all the problems that your children have. You can narrow it down to one thing: they came from you. They came from if they didn't come from you, they came from a human parent. They came from a person that had a sin nature that passed it on to them. And you know this thing about chastening. I think about when I was a kid. Very few people stood in corners. Very few people. Time out was something we used at football. You know, it wasn't something that they used for discipline. My dad, he would discipline me, and he was not brutal, but he believed in using the rod of correction. He was not afraid of warping my personality or causing me to somehow be deprived because of his punishment. And you know what? In many instances, it worked. In most instances, it worked. I remember the last real whipping I got from my dad as I talked back to my mom. I was 12 years old, maybe 13. And she didn't say anything about it. She just went on. And usually she would just fly into me too, but she just had enough. And so my dad got home about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He and my mom were back in the bedroom talking there, and I didn't hear the whole conversation, but we ate supper, and I just kept waiting. You know, he just had a way of torturing me because he wouldn't just get on with it. And so when we were sitting at the supper table, he said, "Son, we need to go outside and talk," after we got through eating. And I knew that he didn't really want to talk. My dad was not much of a talker. And so he went out there, and we had a peach tree, two peach trees side by side. And he took his pocket knife off, and he cut a limb about that big around right at the base. And he began to cut off the little limbs. But he left the little stickers out about that far. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "You can live in this house as long as you want to. But you can," he said, "I don't care how old you are living in this house, you're going to respect me and your mother." And I said, "Yes, sir." And I was thinking, what could I say to cause him not to carry through with this? And I knew there wasn't anything I could say. I'll never forget, it was in May. And we always look forward to Memorial Day weekend because the swimming pool opened. That year, I didn't go the first week. because I was ashamed of the stripes across the back of my legs. I waited for them to heal before I'd go swimming. You know what? I never once again in my lifetime disrespected my mother. You know why? I knew he was serious. I knew he meant what he said. Why? Because he reinforced the instruction with the chastening that the Bible says is correct. And the fact is that many times to withhold the correction is doing a far greater harm for the child than to issue the punishment. I tell the story sometimes about Tim when he was about 10 or 11 years old and he had done something, can't remember what it was because he got so many whippings, but he had done something and I was fixing to whip him. And I said, Tim, do you know of any other solution? Any other thing that we ought to do in relation to what you've done here? He said, well, I would suggest this time you just show a little grace. And I said, I am, just as soon as I finish whipping you. You see, folks, the fact is that God gave us a method. And we just, it's like we read verses and we think, because somebody came along. Remember, some of y'all old enough remember Dr. Spock and all the books he wrote. And he was totally opposed to discipline children by any means as far as what they call capital punishment or capital discipline, whipping, any kind of punishment like that. Do you know what? In the man's older years, he said, I was wrong. He said, I was mistaken. He said, we've raised a generation of rebellious children who have no respect for authority, who have no respect for God or anything else. He said, I was wrong. Well, duh. Kind of late now. I mean, think of all the people that followed all that instruction. And yet you've got the Word of God that is absolutely clear. Look in Proverbs chapter 13. I'm sorry, Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Now that's a very interesting thing there, because there comes a time when the child is going to be too old for you to correct and for you to make a change in. So he says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I can tell you, every whipping I ever got, I started crying before the first lick was ever passed. Because I believe this, the quicker I started crying, and the harder I cried, and the louder I cried, the sooner it would stop. And I remember the first time I read that verse, let not thy soul spare for his crying, that's one verse that my dad followed to the T. He never let the amount of crying, the hollering or whatever, affect the punishment. Look in Proverbs chapter 25, or Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Wonderful words of wisdom. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. What is it that's bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness. What's the remedy for that? Discipline, instruction, chastening, correction. But you know what, folks? That takes time. That takes effort. That takes a commitment. And that's what parents need, is that commitment. Look in Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. In other words, don't withhold. You see, you're not doing a favor by withholding the correction. Withhold not correction. Stand your ground, stand true, and explain to the child. I'm not talking about being cruel. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm not talking about people abusing children. I think that's the most despicable thing in the world for a person to somehow abuse their child. And like these people that lock their children in closets. And there's things that you can do far more abusive than giving your child a spanking. Emotionally, mentally, and in many other ways. I believe when a child is disciplined, there ought to be an explanation. They ought to be instructed as to why they're being disciplined. And they need to know that it's because they're loved. And show the scripture. Explain to the child that listen, if I love you, I have to do this because that's what the Bible says. And if you're not going to use the rod of reproof, if you're not going to use that, whatever discipline you use, make it hurt. Make it something that the child will remember and the child will respond to, and make them know that it's done out of love and out of instruction from the Word of God. That's the discipline part of it. It's not child abuse. It's not beating your child. I mean, God Almighty prepared a place on the body where you can hit without breaking any bones. I hate to see people slap their children. I mean, that's just, I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about the discipline that God's Word speaks to, as we're reading here in Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. I think we read verse 17 a moment ago. Look in verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You see, it's interesting there that he mentions the mother, because the fact is in society, and of course today we have many, many one-parent families where there's been divorces and so forth. But even apart from that, the mothers generally spent the most time with the children. You ever seen a mother ashamed of her child out in public? I saw a woman in JCPenney's not long ago. She was trying to shop. And she finally just took all the stuff she had there in her arms and she just laid it on one of the clothes rack and picked her child up. And she said, "I just can't do this." And she walked out of the store. Couldn't even complete her shopping. I so much wanted to say, you know what? You can teach that child not to act like that. But you know, you can't. People will lock you up if you start saying too much about disciplining children. But the fact is that it just has to do with consistency. I remember a situation we had years ago. And to me, I mention this, I guess, every time I've ever spoke about children being disciplined. Because it really pointed out what the effect discipline can have. Mary babysat for a lady that I worked with at Blue Cross. She had a little son, and his name was Kevin, and the little girl's name was Courtney. And she kept them for several years. When she first started keeping them, Kevin was about 4 years old. And he would do whatever Mary told him to. We never had a problem with him until Mother showed up to pick him up about 4:30. As soon as she walked in the door, he became a hellion. He would run, and she'd say, "Let's go, get your stuff." And he'd scream and say he didn't want to go. And if she said, "Okay, we're staying," he said, "I want to go." I mean, this kid just pitched a fit almost every time. So she told me one day at work, after we'd been babysitting for about a week, she said, "I'm just so embarrassed." She said, "I just don't know what I'm going to do." She said, I said, "Well, I can remedy the situation." She said, "You can?" I said, "Yeah, I can." She said, "How?" I said, "Have you ever heard of spanking?" She said, "Yeah, I do that sometimes, but it just doesn't work." I said, "Oh, it'll work. It'll work. If you'll give me permission, it'll work." And she said, "Okay." She was divorced, and she didn't have anybody to really turn to and talk to. I said, "It'll work." So that afternoon, I got home from work before she got there. Mary and I sit in the living room having coffee. She shows up. She says, "Kevin, come go get your stuff, baby. It's time to go home." He runs in the living room, falls on the floor, starts screaming. I pick him up. Take him back to the back bedroom, close the door. Just happened to have a little switch laying back there. And I said, Kevin, you're not going to act like that. And he started screaming at me. And I said, no, this isn't going to work. I said, when you're in my household, you're going to abide by my rules. And I just switched his leg. And he screamed bloody murder. And I said, when you quit crying, you can come out of this room. And I said, but if you don't quit crying, you're going to get some more of this. He came out, they got their stuff, and they left. She didn't think too much of that because that was the day it happened. The next day, she came, and I was out of the office that day on an audit, and so she didn't see me that next day, so we didn't talk about it. So that afternoon, I was back home. And when she came, we were sitting in the living room, and she told Kevin, he was there in the den, said, come get your stuff and let's go. And he ran in there and started to pitch a fit. And he looked over at the chair where I was. And I went like that. He went and got his stuff, came in there and sat down by his mother. One time is all it took. Now, that was a fortunate situation. Sometimes it takes a whole lot more. But you see, that woman was missing the opportunity of enjoying her child. She was ashamed of her child. She was embarrassed by her child. And all she had to do was do what the Bible said. I mean, I don't mean to oversimplify this. I know that every child is different and every situation is different. But folks, the instructions are clear that if a parent loves their child, they're going to give them what they need, not what they want. And they need discipline. They need to know that they are loved. They need leadership by example. They need for the parents to be the leadership. You know, it's always amazing me how people want their children to be, you know, good Christian young people, but they don't want to be the example of that. They don't teach the children responsibility of obedience to the Word of God and diligent about the things of the Lord. They need the leadership. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know that they have somebody they can depend upon to be their leader. I can tell you in interviewing and in having employees work for me the last 15 years that I worked at Blue Cross, I had nearly 30 people that reported to me, not all directly, but were under my supervision. And you know what? I could tell almost immediately when I hired somebody new what kind of upbringing they had. By their work habits, by their response to authority, by their willingness to do that which they were asked to do. They need love. They need leadership. But they also need some liberty. They don't need, in everything we do, folks, it has to be in balance. And I'm not talking about parents being overly cruel or harsh or that kind. Parents ought to love their children. They ought to care for them. But there needs to be that discipline, instruction. But there needs to be the liberty that the children need. And there comes a point when they have to, start letting go a little bit. And it's hard to do as children reach those teen years to let go somewhat. It doesn't remove the responsibility of the discipline and so forth, but they need that liberty. And then the last thing, they need lessons. They need instruction. Children need to be taught the Word of God. If you're not going to get them in a place where they can be taught it, you need to teach them at home. You need to instruct them in the Word of God on a regular, consistent basis. They need to learn what real love is. They need to learn what their responsibility as children is. They need to learn that they have responsibility to respond to that. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And you know what? In the same way that children have a responsibility to their parents, to be obedient. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. You see, under the law, there were not a lot of rebellious children around. Because the Bible says that when a child was rebellious, they were taken outside the city and they were stoned to death. Thus, when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." You see, under the Old Testament law, those verses were very meaningful there. But notice what Paul says. I like the way he breaks this down. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You see, not only do the parents have responsibility, but children have the responsibility to be obedient to their parents, obey their parents. But it's interesting that he broke that down in two parts, because there comes a time when children are no longer to be obedient to their parents. You know, Will used to tell Stephanie, you know, he would want to do something, and she'd say, "Well, I don't know." And I'd say, "Oh, come on, let him do it." And she'd say, "Come on, Mom, you got to mind him. He's your dad." Well, she didn't have to mind me. I mean, when a child gets grown, they're out from underneath the obedience, obviously. They're their own person. But the next part says, "Honor thy father and mother." You see, two parts of that. Children, obey your parents. That would have to do with children being obedient to their parents as long as they're under their rule. But honor thy father and mother is something that should exist to the very end of their life. Honor thy father and mother. There never comes a time when children should not honor their parents with respect. Whether you disagree with them, whether you don't like what they do, that is not the issue. You are to honor your parents. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, we won't take time to turn to the verses, but in 1 Corinthians, he says that the parents ought to lay up for the children. And over in Timothy, he says that the children are to requite the parents, that is, to repay. The children have a responsibility to honor their father and mother, and that responsibility never ends. You young people that live with your parents, you have the responsibility. You have a commandment from God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, yeah, but they don't understand me. That's not the issue. You're to obey them. Yeah, but they're too old-fashioned. That's not the issue. You are to obey them. Why? They are your parents. This is right. This is what the Bible says. And just because you are rebellious and want to do your own thing and want your own way, when they discipline you, they are doing it for your benefit. When they tell you you can't do something, they're telling you that because it's a benefit to you. And they're not there just to try to keep you from having fun. They're there to guard and to protect you from the dangers of life and to protect you from the things that would be harmful to you. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. How much heartache and hurt could be avoided if children would simply realize that they should obey their parents? Disobedience. In this past week, 2 weeks, two football players, one for the University of Alabama, one for the University of Oklahoma, were found dead, both of them from drug overdoses. These are big, brutish guys. They went to parties, and they never went back home. Think about the heartbreak of losing that child. I heard a man on the internet the other day. He was doing a funeral for Aaron Douglas, the young man that was a University of Alabama student. He was in Knoxville doing the funeral. And he said, you know, when a child loses a parent when they're young, the child's referred to as an orphan. When a spouse loses their when a husband or wife lose their spouse, they're referred to as a widow or a widower. But he said, there is no name for a parent that's lost a child. The heartbreak and the hurt that can be brought. Listen, children, obey your parents. You know, I was taught that, and that was drilled into me. And I don't mean in any way to try to build up myself, because I was a mean, rebellious, still am person. But I can tell you that the one thing many times that refrained, that kept me from getting involved in things would be the thought in the back of my mind, what would this do to my parents if they found out? You see, there ought to be a level of respect for the one that brought you into this world, that loved you, cherished you, raised you up, provided for you, not only the physical, but the spiritual. And the Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And that's what children are doing when they don't obey their parents. They want to do their own thing, want to be their own person. Well, there'll be plenty of time for that. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What a wonderful thing it is when a family and a relationship of parents and children is based upon the Word of God. It's all part of that divine plan that God has for the family. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But I hope that above everything, you will understand as parents the great responsibility you have, we have, of bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you children understand that what your parents are doing in relation to the bringing you up is because they love you. They desire the best for you. Not out to hurt you, not out to get you. They want what is best for you. And what is best for you is to be obedient to them and to the Word of God. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank you this morning again for your Word. We thank you for the instruction of it. We thank you for the clarity of it. Lord, we pray this morning.